DDR is in the studio. Hello, Dave.
Evening.
Welcome to the show. So, Crikey, there's so much to talk about, and I think we should try and be
as concise as possible.
So, how long have you been doing this?
I guess I started producing in 90, and my first release was, I guess, about 94 on State Forever, number two. It's now up to 87.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Which is my new one, actually, funny enough. I just cut it today.
And when you started making music, what sort of got you into it? What were your influences that made you,
Immediately prior to being into electronic music, I guess I was on the Krusty Traveller scene. I was really into Hawkwind and Osric Tentacles and all that stuff. And then I actually hated acid house music at all. I moved to London, which was 1990. I was living in Manchester for 3 years prior to that. And the typical story, you know, I had my first D, went to a rave, and all of a sudden I was converted. And then I went out and sold my guitar and my amplifier and bought an Atari ST and a sampler. And then I was off.
Excellent. And did you meet the people, because you have produced with an enormous sort of range of dance music and underground dance music producers from London and further afield. Are those people that you knew before, or that you met when you were sort of getting into the music?
Well, most of the people I worked with are people from the State Forever Collective, which were initially just the three liberators, Aaron, Julian and Chris. And I actually met them because I was throwing parties with my friend Tad over here in a squat on Green Lanes. And one night we were throwing a party, and then like 100 yards up the road, some other crew was throwing a party, ironically, in a deaf centre, a squatted deaf centre. And that happened to be the Liberator Posse. And so for the whole night, there was a trail of people going up and down the Green Lanes from one party to the other party, and finally the Liberator crew came down to our party. Had such a good time there that we kind of made a connection with those guys, and they started playing at all our full-on parties for a while. And after a year or so, all of a sudden they were starting a label, and I was already producing music. They knew I produced music, and they just got into producing music too, and we just hooked up, and the rest is history.
Yeah, it is indeed, because it got pretty full blown, really, the whole sort of London acid techno scene. It was, there was some, and well, the strength of 87 release and Stay Out Forever says it all, I suppose.
Exactly, really. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, like 96, 97 was like the peak as far as acid techno is concerned. You know, we rode the wave of popularity for a while. We got all the press in the magazines, you know, like DJ and Mix Mag and all that stuff. And we kind of died away from the public face a little bit, but you know, the popularity is still there. You know, people still buy the records, we still go all over the world gigging everywhere. You know, people still love the music, so.
But it's got pretty, that's what I was going to say, it has gone worldwide, hasn't it? I mean,
absolutely, yeah. I mean, the great thing is I've managed to travel, not everywhere over the planet, but quite a few places. You know, it's been a lot of fun.
And yeah, and I suppose you've felt that you've taken that sound to those places where people.
And obviously the reception is, you know, fantastic everywhere you go. Generally speaking, you know, people only book you, you know, because you're not ultra famous, like, you know, the Oaken Folds and the Digweeds of this world. You know, you only get booked because people want you to play the music that you play. They are not just booking you because you're a name to put on a flyer. So, you know, you get to travel everywhere, and generally speaking, 99% of the time, people want to hear you play. So, you know, it's good.
So you used to truck out we're going to try and be as concise as possible, like I said. You used to truck out an enormous amount of sort of analog equipment and mixers and all the rest.
I used to fly all over the world with two big flight cases.
But tonight you're with us with a comparatively slimline.
It all goes in two little bags now. Yeah.
And so what are you actually working on?
Ableton Live, obviously, which pretty much everybody's using these days. And I've got three MIDI controllers here. What I've tried to do is, I used to use a Mackie mixer, and basically all my instruments come down each channel. When I had the Mackie, I would have all my instruments on a separate channel, so I would deconstruct the records that I make. I would take all the parts, deconstruct them, and then reconstruct them again when I'm playing live. So I have the kick drum, the hi-hat, the snare, the clap, and the bass line, and the breakbeats all on separate channels, and then I can just basically jam on that live, bringing in the parts wherever and however I liked. Now what I'm doing is, with the power of the new MacBook Pro thing I've got here, I can do everything in the computer. So now I've just got the computer, a bunch of MIDI controllers, and I can still play more or less the same, but without carrying around £30 of heavy mixer.
Mm. I think, yeah, like you say, it's the way that a lot of people are choosing to go now is onto, and I think it is the strength.
The sound's not quite the same, unfortunately. You know, the sound of analog is a particular sound which I love, but unfortunately, you know, I'm getting old now, getting a bit old in the tooth and a bit long in the tooth rather, and carrying around all that heavy shit is just it's just a bit too much for me these days.
Well, I can assure you, it is looking very slimline. It's all silver as well. We'll try and get Tamon to get a photo of it later on, so we can put it on the website. But so, plans for the future? Are you going to keep on making music? Is this?
I've been on a bit of a hiatus for the last few years. I've been living in America, and when I initially went to America, the scene was really great, really strong. There's loads of big raves. I used to go playing around the States a lot. Up in Canada as well. Unfortunately, a couple of years ago the scene died, so I've been a bit quiet recently, but I'm moving back to London soon, so I'm going to get back into the swing of things, I think.
So unless there's anything else apart from plugging Stay Up Forever 87,
Trip Hazard, it's got a great sample from Repo Man on it, which if you know the Repo Man movie, you'll love it.
I've got two more. Favourite record that you've been involved in?
The Rabbit's Name was, obviously, because that is the acid techno, acid trance, whatever you want to call it, classic, I think, for me.
Yeah, I remember that going out with me and
myself, Julian Liberator, and Dave the drummer producing for us.
Well, yeah, we went to a party up in Glasgow, I think, or Edinburgh, in a club up there. Travelled up for it, and that went up forever.
Yeah, it's actually having a bit of a resurgence recently. Chris has been playing it every time he plays. Chris plays it out, and it goes down as well as it's ever gone down.
And favourite gig? That was the other one.
Favourite gig, I think, would have to be my first ever gig in the States, which was in Milwaukee, New Year's Eve, 2001, I think. And it was my first ever gig in the States. The biggest gig I've ever played at previously to that was probably about 500 or 600 people here in the UK, or maybe in Europe somewhere. And the first thing that struck me is when I got introduced to the venue. I walked into the venue and I walked into the downstairs, which is the first level, and this guy showed me this room. The guy that picked me up took me there. He's like, okay, yeah. I walked in and I was like, wow, this space is fantastic. You know, it's big. You know, it could probably hold 1,000 people. He goes, yeah, this is the second room. You were playing in the main room upstairs. And I went, damn. So we moved upstairs, and it's like this huge fucking ballroom. And it was like 6,500 people there. And it went off. It was really fantastic. I had a really great time. Ironically enough, I played after a Kiss cover band, which was a bit weird. At the strike of midnight, a Kiss cover band go on, and they're absolutely spitting image, perfect copy of Kiss, and they're playing rock and roll Kiss. And then I'm like, you know, it was very strange, but at the same time, very exciting. It was fantastic.
Excellent. Well, I think with that said, let's get on with some music.
All right, here we go. Boom, boom.
TDR then on LFM, folks.
hearty, dirty down, low life, nothing. Cold 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 hearty, dirty down, low life, nothing. Dirty down, no life, nothing. Cold hearty, dirty down, no life, nothing.
proud to be a repo man. Why don't you smart up, kid? Fuck you, Fletcher. Smart up, kid.
fucking having it. That's all I can say.
And you thought I was going to play Breakbeats.
Fucking having it. Oh, thank you very much, Dave. I think we've all thoroughly enjoyed that.